Hey, Patrick, it's Josiah. How are you?
Yes, hi. I'm well. Just a second. I'm going to step outside. It's pretty loud in here.
All right. Yeah, no problem.
Okay, that's much better.
Perfect. So I understand there's been some pretty big developments over the past couple of days. Can you sort of explain that?
I sent you some screen grabs, but without the context, probably doesn't help too much. Basically, what's happening is that two of the power users on the forums, namely Quasi, who is the administrator, Quasi 101, that is,
Right.
and then Space Edge, who has been the chief, one of the chief harassers and doxers for going back for more than a year and a half now, have been coming to blows. Space Edge believes that Quasi has worked either with another journalist named Seth Simmons, or with my lawyers to sell out and give up the identities of at least several of the most prolific of the forum users. This isn't actually true, but that's what he's got in his head. So we're just gonna let him keep having that in his head. But anyway, so in because of this, they've been getting increasingly angry with each other, and there's a growing rift amongst community. And now that Canyon Boykin, who is the actual real life ID of Space Edge, believes that his information is getting out there, he's been much less careful about what he's saying in the group chats. So what's happened is we found out that what you and I have been talking had talked about it the last time we spoke. Sorry, a second. What you and I had talked about the last time we spoke about the possibility that Quasi was being funded from
Right.
outside. Well, it turns out that's true, and we even know who's doing it. His name is Chris Italia, and he is the owner of The Stand, New York City, which is a comedy club that has been closely aligned with the alt-right. So Chris Italia is actually the one who has been fronting most of, if not all of the money for Quasi 101's legal defense. But what's more, Canyon Boykin and several other people on the boards, like longtime members of the board, like user Coonskin and Carol Maxine, they have inadvertently confirmed, for me at least, what Quasi 101's identity is as well. Because we had a screen grab from a while ago, with the mole that you have been talking about and talking to, where he had gotten
Yeah.
a screen grab of an envelope that had the name of Rahul Kumar on it, and as well
Rahul,
as
yeah.
an address there in New York City. And I as I had said I told you before, I was much less confident about that ID as I was with Canyon Boykin. But that's no longer the case, because Canyon, as well as several other people, have in those shots that I sent you, been using really anti-Indian slurs specifically against Quasi.
Against Quasi, yeah.
So, and between that and the fact that we now know that Chris Italia, being in New York City, is the one who's been funding this whole thing, to me, that's confirmation that this, Indian American named Rahul Kumar, who lives not even a mile away from the Stand Comedy Club, I think we can call that a positive identification at this point.
Interesting. So, do you believe Rahul and what was his name? Chris Italia, you think they know each other in person and
Yes, I
they're
do.
sort of buddied up? Okay, that's very
Yes, I do.
interesting. So does this sort of turn the tables at all regarding your lawsuit? in any way? How
Well,
does this?
I don't know how much it's going to help the lawsuit. But now, in a lot of ways, the lawsuit is moot because at least, you know, this phase, the point of the lawsuit was to get Quasi-101's identity so that we could depose him.
Right.
And get confirmation of people like, you know, to make sure that it is Canyon Boykin that we were dealing with. Well, that's done now. You know, at least to my satisfaction, that's done. So the next phase, no longer rests on the outcome of this round of subpoenas and hearings that are going on in California and Wisconsin. So,
so that's good news then. So you're going to be able to, subpoena Rahul and depose him and find information on the rest of the members of the website?
Possibly.
If that's what I understand.
This is all going to be up in the air. I mean, our next hearing is on the 23rd, and the outcome of that hearing will determine whether or not we actually end up owing Raul his legal fees of $17,000, which
right.
now we know is actually money that he owes to Chris Italia.
Mm-hmm.
But in a lot of ways, even that's moot, because now, you know, either with this article that you're writing, or if I just decide to go scorched earth, they're going to be named publicly anyway, which is what all of these people have been desperate to avoid, especially Canyon Boykin with his history, because, you know, we don't know what he's doing for work anymore, but if it comes out that, oh, hey, you know, here's this disgraced ex-cop who probably got away with manslaughter of a black motorist, now it turns out 5 years later, almost 6 years later, he's moonlighting as a cyber terrorist. I mean, that's going to be a big fucking story.
Right.
I mean, that's going to, it wouldn't surprise me if that gets national, you know, if that, you know, ends up on national television.
Right. Okay.
And Canyon has taken great, great pains to avoid being identified. And also, too, because of the last time he went through this, so, I mean, he was dragged through the national media back in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's tried very hard to keep, you know, he has no real social media presence. Other than the occasional picture on his wife's Instagram account and Facebook. You know, she does very little other than just post pictures of their kids. You know, they aren't out there. You know, they've done their best to scrub their numbers and their address and everything from all corners of the internet, but they're much harder to find, presumably because they're just trying to put the whole thing with the death of Bell back in 2015,
right.
you know, out of the public eye, because the last time he just got dragged all to hell and back, which would completely happen again as soon as he's named.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows that. That's why he's so scared.
Right. Now, you said that the true source of this information is not Quasi or Rahul, but rather it's the mole. So can you sort of...
Yes, correct.
Can you sort of give more details about how valuable the mole's information has been, you know, in terms of your fight against this community?
Well, I mean, the mole has been the only source that we've had for any sort of information inside of their, like, inner circle, you know, because they'd have secret forums or secret chats set up that were not publicly visible, which is how they would, you know, coordinate a lot of their stuff. But then also it's been able to give us insight into the group's thinking at any given time. You know, because they put on the really brave, bold face and, you know, they aren't afraid of anything and they're invincible,
right.
blah, blah, blah. But in reality, like, you know, once this lawsuit got started, they were scared shitless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they put on a brave face for the public side, but on the private side, I mean, that's the only reason you spend $17,000 of someone else's money, it turns out, to try and keep your identity secret. You know, like, these guys have been freaking out for months over this stuff.
Right. Actually, I noticed that Time had actually published an article about you either yesterday or the day before about the
Yesterday, yep.
harassment. Yeah, yesterday. And it seems like they specifically target sci-fi and fantasy authors. Do you know why it is that they seem to go for that specific genre?
Well, it's not specific to sci-fi and fantasy authors. I mean, this group that we're talking about does because they're trying to destroy me and my reputation and my career. But other unaffiliated groups of you know, stalkers and other and scammers and things like that, they go after whatever genre they want.
I see. I see. Well, what role would you say the science fiction writers of America played in helping you fight these trolls? I know that they helped in getting in touch with the higher ups at Goodreads. And how valuable have they been in your fight against this group?
No, I mean, immensely. If it hadn't been for some of their kind of, you know, backdoor contacts into the administration staff at Goodreads, there'd still be literally thousands of fake reviews, you know, just absolutely wrecking my ratings and my you know, and all on all of them, across all six of my books. So, you know, and not just on Goodreads, but also on Amazon and other sites as well. So without that resource, I wouldn't have any, you know, it would be an enormously uphill battle trying to continue my career.
See, I had a few more questions actually. Actually, earlier in the call, you mentioned two other users, one I believe named Coonskin, if that's correct, and another
Yeah, that's
Carl
one of them.
Maxhinney. Can you sort of explain their role?
Carl Max Heine, yeah.
Okay, can you sort of explain their role in the forums and what they've done to affect your life?
It's the same sort of thing. They're there to, you know, contribute to the harassment campaign. They're there to, you know, send harassing texts and leave harassing voicemail. Carol Maxine, however they're pronouncing that, is particularly obsessed with the outright lie that I have that I cheat at the half marathons that I run. They claim to have discovered concrete evidence that at the 2016 Brewers mini marathon that I skipped timing math and I don't appear in certain places where photographs are being taken, and therefore I must have cut the course. Even though that was by far my worst marathon time, because I actually about 5 miles into it, I stepped off of a curb wrong and twisted one of my ankles pretty good. So I, you know, I ran like the last 8 miles on, you know, wincing. Well, you know, ran, walked. You know, and like, there's absolutely no way they could see the timing mat data. That's simply not public. There's no way that, you know, like every runner does not get out of 5,000 people. They don't get taken. Not everyone gets their picture taken at every photography spot. That's just not how any of this works. And I ran the entire race with, you know, with a close friend who I've run several half marathons with. We didn't cut the course. We didn't cheat. There'd be no reason for me to cheat just so I could get a 2-hour and 40-minute time on a half marathon. I mean, these people are just completely nuts.
Have you, now that it seems at least a few of them are going to be identified, have you thought about what you're finally going to say to them once you see them face to face, maybe even in a courtroom?
Well, I'm hoping it's in the context of a criminal trial, especially in the case of Canyon Boykin, because he has doxxed dozens and dozens and dozens of people. He has been part of a conspiracy to harass, you know, through the telephone and through fax, dozens of people. He's tried to intimidate dozens of people. You know, a friend of mine, in fact, Paul Weimer, who I gave him your email address, so hopefully he'll be reaching out. But you know, he's dealt with suicidal ideation over the last couple of years for a reason, a number of reasons that are no fault of his own. People know that. And Canyon Boykin bragged openly about sending Paul texts demanding that he kill himself, and bragged about the fact that he was trying to convince Paul's brother that Paul's a pedophile, which is a complete lie. Like, this man is a criminal.
Yeah.
And he's already literally gotten away with a murder from the looks of it. And now he's moonlighting, as I said earlier, as a fucking cyber terrorist. Like, I absolutely want to see him. I want to see him as he sits behind his desk while I'm sitting on the witness stand explaining all of his crimes to the jury. That's what I want to have happen.
Right. Yeah, that's definitely understandable. Sorry, go ahead.
Yep. No, that was it.
Okay. All right. Well, Patrick, we did have a meeting yesterday morning just to discuss the status of the article, and one major point that our managers brought up. I don't know where you are in terms of conferring with your lawyers, but we were sort of discussing, you know, what it would take to have our readers sort of take this seriously and sort of see it for what it is. And as I understand, you have a video of one of these stalkers coming onto your property and vandalizing it. And if we could show that to our readers, that would be, you know, pretty invaluable in terms of getting people to read our article, and in terms of coverage and getting people to pay attention to your story. So I don't know where you are in terms of conferring with your lawyer, but if you could get that to us, that would be extremely helpful for the article.
When do you believe this article might go live? And what's the publication time frame?
I'm thinking probably 3 to 4 weeks.
So early to mid-September?
Yeah. If you need to hold on to it for a little while, that's okay. Especially if you have to go with what your lawyers say. You know, everything I'm saying, I'm just telling you what my bosses are saying. But you have to go with what your lawyers.
Well, I'm thinking I would probably feel better handing it over after our next hearing, which is in 2 weeks.
Okay. Okay, and that's in 2 weeks. Okay, so that would be perfect. Okay. I just wanted to relay.
On the 23rd.
All right. Yeah, I just wanted to relay that message to you. And is there anything else you had to add? Is there anything that maybe any questions I haven't asked you, or anything else that you had to say about this group?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I'm just, I'm actually, you know, the revelation about Chris Italia is very interesting to me, you know, that he's finding this from the outside, but it fits kind of nicely with what we know about his history. And the other thing is, there appears to be, although they're unnamed at this point, there appears to be a video game developer at Rockstar Games who is also a kind of a silent partner in all of this. And so, you know, this starts that kind of smack of you know, a Gamergate version 2.0 sort of thing. And then also, you know, with all the toxicity culture that was out of, like, Bethesda Games that has been in the news the last couple of weeks here with the strike and everything, that puts a very interesting wrinkle on all of this as well.
Right. Now, Chris Italia used to be a member of the forums, correct?
Yes, he was.
Okay, so that probably would be his motivation in or maybe that would be.
And he may still be under a new username, but yeah, we know he used to be, just based on an article from Seth Simmons who was in the New Republic a few months back now. Yeah, we know he was a user, a pretty big one. Not one that did much, as far as I can tell, not one that did anything other than just point and laugh and be supportive of all the terrible things that they were doing to us. So it's not exactly a situation where I can pin any particular heinous act against me or my family on Chris, mm-hmm. other than just he was there pointing and laughing and saying, yeah, keep going, you know, and encouraging the whole thing.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. All right. That's all the questions I have for today, Patrick. And if anything changes, please make sure to let me know, and I'll definitely keep you updated as well. And I appreciate you taking the time.
Absolutely. And like I said, I think once we clear this next hearing and see what the outcome of that was, that more than likely I'm going to go ahead and give you the images as well as the video clip of the trespassing and of the vandalism.
Perfect. Yeah, that would be very valuable. All right, Patrick, well, it was nice talking to you again, and hopefully we'll be in touch, and I'll speak to you again soon.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for your time.
All right, take care.
Bye now.
Bye.